we look at somebody's life like yours, all these opportunities, is there luck involved in any of this?
You know, I believe that down through life, you're put in certain circumstances, some good, some bad. And it's how you react to what's good and what's bad. I believe that that's all training for you. Because I've been knocked down a lot, and I jumped up and go again. Of course, I think, good Lord, don't let you have it unless he's got something in mind. You know, I've tried to use the money I've made for good purposes. Falls Creek, my church, my college. You know, I've given to a lot of other colleges here in Oklahoma.
To show that you were serving the customer, there's a story told me about the bank would give away toasters. And this lady came in complaining she didn't get her toaster.
Yeah, we was giving away something. And this little lady had a grocery store out on North Washington Street. Come in and ask for something, and they said that's for new customers. She called me and I said, you're the newest customer I've ever seen. How many of them do you want? She had about $4,000 in the bank. So, you know, I'm 76 years old, almost 77, and if a person's got a complaint about the bank, they still call me. Of course, everybody says, because you always give in to them. I said, not all the way. I said, I've never given a bad loan. I said, I'm taking money out of my pocket. A boyhood friend of mine, Boswell, in trouble, sick, declared bankruptcy on me. His wife coming here crying. Yeah, I gave her $400. I knew I wasn't going to get it back. Didn't expect it back. But she came back for the second $400. She didn't get it. But, you know, if you love people and you try to help people, and, you know, seeking to let that customer understand, I've never turned down a loan. I said, I can make that if you'll do this, this, and this. I know they can't do it. But I at least leave them with a spirit of crying. When I first come down here, I was asked for the moon. I mean, people ask you for this, that. Strange things happen in banking.
Would you consider yourself a conservative businessman?
Oh, I'm conservative throughout.
Ever take a big gamble?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, when I put these banks together. I never worked at a bank, and I came down here in 1984. In 1984, I sold the Holiday Inn, and my partner sold nursing homes. I had quite a bit of cash, so the board asked me, would I start spending time down here? I was chairman of the loan discount committee, and I'd come down every Tuesday morning. And the board stayed around one day, or the committee that's on the board stayed around and said, why don't you start spending some time down here? So I started spending time down here. No salary, no nothing. And I started finding things that I didn't think were right and started changing them. At the end of the year, they said, John, how much are we paying you? And I said, nothing. And the most conservative member of that board said, I mean, we give him the same thing the president made. I like to pass out. Anyway, then 86, I bought controlling interest.
Of this bank?
Of this bank. And then I had controlling interest of Holdenville, maybe. 91, I think, is when I merged. 92. Okay.
You brought up Holiday Inn a while back, and I stopped you because I wanted you to go back further. How do you come to buy a Holiday Inn? That wasn't a dream to be in the motel business.
Well, it's another service business. See, I sold hamburgers all through high school, George's Drive-In. I liked the restaurant business. I knew how to cook. I knew how to do everything out there. So this came open, and a guy here in town, the richest man in town, was a friend of mine, and he said, let's buy that, and he can run that. He made him an offer of $670, and my partner that's in other things with me went out there and offered him $750, and we bought it. So I had to go out there to make sure it run right, and I enjoyed it. It was fun.
Did you get in on the operating of it?
Every day, 365 days a year. It was fun.
And you enjoyed it?
Oh, yeah. Something happens funny in the motel business every day. Something happened funny most every day at the motel, in the restaurant.
You were there kind of full-time. What else did you have going for you?
Oh, I had apartment houses.
Okay.
I was in charge of them, and I was with the Daily Oklahoma a year and a half, and finally a district manager came by, and at 10 o'clock in the morning, I was swamped and said, let's go knock doors. Well, I do that every Thursday night. And I said, I do it. He said, I'm going to do it now. So I went in there and called Helge Holmes and said, Helge, I need to resign. I said, it's not going to work. He said, I told him not to come down there and bother you. I said, well, he's here. He said, let me talk to him. any party or spot. And I said, you're having to make excuses for me, and I don't want you to have to do that, because you did all the time I was in the legislature. You know, your contract said you can't do anything else besides that.
So you left?
I left the Daily Oklahoma, but then, of course, I had plenty to do. I worked at the motel from 7 o'clock in the morning usually to 12:30, and then I went to the apartments, and I'd go to different ones. I made them all every day.
How long did you own the Holiday Inn?
14 years.
Did you do other motels?
Yeah, I owned the Ramada Inn over at Sherman and the Villa Capri at Idabel.
But you got out of it. You could have gone on and on with that as well.
Oh, yeah. Motels were good business to us. The Holiday Inn here was getting old. And, you know, Holiday Inn has certain expectations, and I knew it was coming. I didn't want to spend $200,000 or $300,000 out there. So I sold it for $2 million something.
But then here in the banking business, you have all these branches. You went out and bought banks.
See, I had the two banks, and I got along with regulators real good because they were teaching me a whole lot. You know, you can learn a lot from regulators if you just be their friend and be nice. They can tell you a whole lot. They can tell you what's wrong, or they can suggest what's wrong. It's because we're pretty sharp people there. I always had a very strong relationship with them because they taught me something all the time. The meanest examiner FDIC had taught me more because I'd been wrong. Here's a guy that didn't trust nobody. He came in the bank, that door right there. I got up and I said, I'm John Massey. He said, I'm Mr. So-and-so, Mr. Massey. You need to see me. Knock on the door and I'll come out. And do not bother my examiners through this exam. Okay. I went over and turned the coffee pot off and act like I locked the lock box. It would be a... examiners laughed, you know. His name was Mike Peterman. So he stuck his head in the door and said, I'm going to write those apartments off by $500,000. Write them down. I said, hell, I thought you sold insurance. I didn't know you wrote loans then. I wished I'd never said it. These examiners rolled in here. They knew he was coming to my front door, so they opened that damn door a little bit to listen to what I'd say. They liked to die. God, you should never say that to an FDIC examiner. I said, y'all told me to read that damn book, and I read it. So anyway, I said, I think that what I need to do is take you out there and show you those apartments, show you what can be done and what is being done, and then you won't feel that way. He said, Mr. Ferndorf's taking me out there. And I said, well, y'all got personalities just like, go ahead. William's not outgoing personality, and he wasn't either. So Monday morning, a young man from New Mexico who worked for FDIC in Oklahoma, he came in my office, and he says he is going to write these down some. And I said, well, I've called the bank commissioner and had him send an examiner down. That's who writes loans down. This young man, I told him, I said, you understand when they tell me, they make me promise them that I will do it, but they can't make me do it. Mm-hmm. He said, yeah. He said, if you could find the person that owns the apartments around there and get some kind of appraisal they got, and if you could get an operating statement, it would help me decide what I'm going to write up. I'm going to write it up, and he's going to make the decision. But I know he's wrong, and I want you to be satisfied because they tell me you're an honest man. I said, okay. He said, how long would it take you to get that? And I said, I think I can get it for you right now. They were appraised last month. Here's the appraisal, and here's 10 years operating statements. He said, you own them all? I said, yeah, I own them all. So we finally agreed to write them down $100,000. I kept those and operated them for all these years. Mike Peterman, his last bank to do was here. And I walked in and showed him where I sold them. I'd made a 22% return on my investment, plus I made double the price of apartments. I said, now you wish you hadn't screwed up like that. He's a good guy.